during worship one day, just like a normal conference, I saw this open vision of thousands of people being baptized in Huntington Beach.
You're listening to Chiseled and Called with Brittany Dawn, a podcast about finding freedom in imperfection and peace in your broken pieces through Jesus. Our prayer is that today's message will bless you, embolden you, and fix your gaze on the King, that it will stir up the calling God has placed within you. Without further ado, here's your host, Brittany Dawn.
Welcome to the Chiseled and Called podcast. I am your host, Brittany Dawn, and we're just jumping into it today, you guys. More than anything, this world, our country right now, needs Jesus. And I couldn't think of a stronger female voice than Jessie Green. She is bold, she is unapologetic, and she fiercely loves leading people to the cross. She actually prayed over my womb back in September, and it was the first time that I physically felt like my womb was burning on fire, and I believe in my whole heart that something shifted and healed in my body in that moment. But that testimony is for another time. Jessie Green has so much to offer in today's episode. So without further ado, let's hop in. Welcome to the podcast, Jessie. How are you?
I am good. I am really good. How are you guys doing over there?
We're good. We are so good. I just shared a little praise report with you. So we're just, you know, thankful that God is a healer and a redeemer and a restorer.
Yes, absolutely. It's so cool to see just all across the earth right now, just all the miracles and testimonies coming in and people experiencing God's presence and love and healing in like such an unprecedented way right now. It's so awesome.
Yes. And it's so crazy how we got connected. So we got connected back in September of this past year at Jamie Lynn's retreat. And I tell my friends, and I've told a few people that know you and follow you this, but I've never said it publicly, but like there was something like when you have the Holy Spirit, sometimes your spirit just feels so drawn to someone else that has the Holy Spirit on them and that anointing. And I don't know what it was, but I was working your book booth. I don't know if you remember that.
I didn't know that.
I was helping sell your books. And I was like, I don't know what it is about Jessie, but like I just feel like I need to know her or sit and listen to her. And then I had no idea you were speaking that day. And when you got up and shared your heart, I was just like awestruck with your passion and your zeal. And the way that you delivered the gospel was such a loving mama bear, like, hey, I've been there before too, kind of way. And I feel like there's so many ways to deliver the gospel, but the way that you did it was just so profound. And
oh, thank you, Brittany.
It was beautiful. And your heart for revival and deliverance and leading people to the cross to get them out of that bondage of sin. And so, yeah, I kind of told you, I usually go into these with questions. I don't really have any questions. I feel like the Holy Spirit will lead this conversation. And,
absolutely,
you know, we're living in unprecedented times, and there's never been more of a need for Jesus in our culture, more now than ever. And so what is it that keeps you going every day? You know, because we know that the call to ministry is tough and it's hard and you walk through spiritual warfare. What is it that just like burns inside of you to make Jesus known?
Yeah, I mean, for me, so when I got saved, I always say like I got really saved. I really got born again when I was 24 years old. I'm 38 now, so it feels like yesterday, but also not. But I was working in the nightclub industry in New York City. Was really like deep in the culture of just like pursuing everything for myself, dating a multimillionaire, traveling first class around the world on trips, and really like thought that's what I wanted, and had really bad depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts. I had had multiple abortions and really carried a lot of the shame, and honestly, just the spirit of death was like over my life. And I remember one night in just like a moment of desperation, I just cried out to God. And I said, God, if you're real, like if you're really real, like you have to take this pain away. And it was the first time I like truly encountered like the weighty, tangible, like real presence of Jesus. And this thought hit me where I was just like, okay, God is real. Like I'd grown up in the church, but this was different. Like I was like, okay, God is really real. And I just had this revelation where I was like, okay, if you can actually really know God and have a relationship with him, then what is more important than that? Like, this is like the God who created the universe. And so I just like went on this pursuit of like wanting to know everything about Jesus. And I traveled as a missionary for a year and lived in third world countries because I thought like that's where you get to really know Jesus. And I would still say to this day, I've just been like passionately obsessed with discovering more and more about Jesus. And the more that I discover about him, the more I've just become obsessed with him. And I really am just driven to this thing where I just, it makes me upset and it like makes me weep at night just thinking that there are people that don't really know him. And so I would say even ministry wise, like, I'll be honest, like ministry is super easy for me. Like I know a lot of people struggle with ministry or burnout or any of that. I really never have struggled with any of that. I like we've had ups and downs and we've had hard seasons, but I've just always, whether we've been in hidden seasons or in the public eye, for me, I just am so obsessed with just Jesus and being used by him and the fact that he lets me share the gospel with people. That really is what drives me. And so I've stayed red hot.
Yeah.
Being saved, because the more I discover about him, the more it just draws me in even deeper. And so that's kind of like my motivation, which kind of helps, I think, with all the ups and downs that ministry has.
Yeah.
It kind of like at the end of the day, it can close my door and pray and be in the presence of God. And that really has sustained me over the last several years. So.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing what, I mean, just a moment in his presence can do, like literally totally. Can change everything. And just hearing your testimony, it's so powerful. I remember you spoke on some of the things that you touched on at Jamie Lynn's retreat. And then, you know, you shared some of your heart in Domino Revival and just your boldness, like the way that you speak into depression and suicide and abortion. Like those are three heavy hitters in our culture today. Could you maybe speak to any of those three that you feel led to? Because I know I have a testimony of depression and I encountered Jesus in the middle of my suicide attempt. And I've never walked through abortion, but I have taken the morning after pills, you know, back years ago. And it's a level of shame that if you don't get set free from that, you can carry that for the rest of your life. And so maybe would you speak to someone that has walked through abortion or is struggling with depression or suicidal ideation or suicidal thoughts behind closed doors?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a huge passion of mine because honestly, especially Brittany in the church world, so obviously there's like the people outside of the church, outside of Christianity that don't know him, right? And our job is to share the gospel with them, share the kingdom with them, right? Give them access to reality that Jesus is real. He's our healer and all of that, right? And obviously people that are in the world not following Jesus are going to make decisions that the world tells them to make because that's what they know, right?
Yeah.
But what kills me, and I think what's like led me to be like a quote unquote revivalist, is I am sometimes just totally bewildered by the lies that we believe as Christians. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the main things that drives me because I remember even just being in the church world and with other believers, with Christians, and what was being made normal was depression. Anxiety was becoming very normal within the church. It was like, a lot of the discussions was it almost seemed like it was like the most loving thing to like sit with someone in their anxiety, and we're supposed to just listen to them and show up for them. And
yeah.
And a lot of that ideology stuff comes from the New Age culture, actually, of just sitting with someone and being a listening ear is the most compassionate thing. But I really realized that, like, no, what's the most loving thing is telling someone like they can actually be set free.
Yeah.
And that's what they should be going after. And Jesus died for them to be 100% free, that they don't need to like have salvation at the end of their life, but live a whole life of depression. And when I realized that a lot of that stuff is attached to demonic agreements, to strongholds, to different kinds of oppression, I just realized like, okay, there's access to so much more. And the most loving thing is to tell people, no, you can actually be 100% free from depression. And maybe you're not totally free right now, but that's the aim. Like, don't allow the enemy to deceive you. I remember thinking, like, as a believer, that, you know, anxiety was something that I was just going to struggle with my whole life, and it was just going to be part of the course. And then when someone told me, no, like, you can come against that spirit and the blood of Jesus cancels that, all of a sudden I had vision and revelation of like a free life. And then I started pursuing that, and I was like, I will not come into agreement with anxiety. And for me, it was like probably like a 6-year journey of deliverance.
Wow.
I will truly say, like, Brittany, I do not struggle with any depression. I do not struggle with any anxiety. And like, I'm completely 100% set free of those things for years now. And I think sometimes like people need to hear, like, you can actually be 100% set free. And it doesn't have to be something you struggle with every day.
Yes.
And so I know for me, like, I needed to know that that was possible first. And then I needed to like get the tools and the resources to walk that out. And Brittany, especially when it comes to abortion, I feel like we do such a disservice in the body of Christ, just telling people, like, because obviously there's a pendulum swing where there was so much judgment. And there is so much judgment around abortion. And so that keeps people in so much shame. So first I needed to know that, like, no matter what I had done, that the Lord offers me forgiveness, right? But I also did have to repent and ask the Lord to forgive me. And I had been in a church culture for a long time that was like, hey, there's no more shame on you. God just loves you. Everything's good. But I was like, okay, well, why am I still struggling with shame then? Yeah. Why am I still dealing with the spirit of death? And the best thing was, like, I needed to actually repent. And I needed someone to actually tell me, like, no, when you did have an abortion, you did murder a baby. And like, there's a grieving process that needs to take place. And Jesus loves you, but he loves you so much that, you know, confessing your sin is actually what breaks off the shame. And the word tells us, like, if we confess our sins to one another, that there's healing in that. And so I actually had to like admit that I had done something wrong.
Yeah.
And when I did that, all of a sudden, Brittany, I felt this wave of shame just break off of me.
Wow.
And all of the weight the enemy had put on me, and all the secrets and the lies and the fear of being exposed and all of that stuff, all of the punishment came off as soon as I repented.
That's so beautiful. Wow. I feel like that just set someone free. Like, I know it is a topic that, you know, there's so much narrative on social media now about if you're pro-life or pro-choice, but there's not a lot about, well, what about the women that have done that? And they are walking with that shame, and they're walking with, you know, the guilt or the depression that follows that, and, you know, the remorse. And so I love that you just spoke to that. And then to the depression, and the same thing. I was crippled by anxiety, was having panic attacks almost every single day behind closed doors before I encountered Jesus in the middle of my suicide attempt. And after realizing, like, you know, first of all, when you encounter the love of the Father in a supernatural way, like, you never want to see a day outside of his presence. It's so just true. Yeah. And I was picking up on that just hearing you share your testimony. You see life differently. And then I was so hungry that I was like, okay, if he can set me free from this, because he set me free from so much in that moment. And then it was like, okay, I know he can set me free from depression and anxiety. Yeah. And it was just like the season and wave of deliverance. Just, you know, every month it was like I was getting delivered from something new. And yeah, to be able to say 4 years later, it'll be 5 years on Valentine's Day, like I have not struggled with a panic attack in 4 years, like not even remotely close. Anxiety no more, depression no more. Like, oh, it's so freeing. And the problem is, like, just you kind of spoke to the new age. There are so many new age beliefs out there that are saying it's better to love someone in their darkness, in their whatever it is, than to help them come out of it. And
yeah,
I've watched that in people in my own life. And it's that balance of how do I love them well, but also call them out of their sin? Like, you know what I mean? Because it can be it's a tricky thing sometimes, because you don't want to offend them, but also offense is a spirit. Right. So it's like, you know what I mean? So yeah, I mean, just to maybe to speak to that. So if someone that's listening that they're saying, yes, I know that, you know, my spouse or my best friend is struggling with this and I don't know how to lead them into a place to get delivered, what would you say to them to encourage them?
Yeah, that's actually something that comes up a lot, because I feel like when I preach, I have to, like, I bring up sometimes hard things, convicting things. Sometimes people get offended. I think the main thing too is just to remember, like I know this sounds really obvious, but again, it's like, is our motivation truly like to love that person into freedom? So are we coming from this position of judgment? You know, there are a lot of preachers out there that preach convicting words and they're cold. It's sharp. It's hard. It like doesn't resonate, right? And so the first thing is like really like spending time with the Lord, being in his presence, understanding like his passion for people, and then letting that being the motivator for you. So for me, like when I'm calling someone into repentance, like I cry so much when I preach. I cry so much when I'm in prayer, because my desire is like, I don't want someone to just be told like, okay, you did this horrible thing and you're a horrible person, right? No, it's like, I am so motivated by vision for them of what's available if they could live free, and if the things that they could have access to, that like motivates me to call them into repentance. And so I always tell people, like, if you don't love the person to the point of like weeping for them, then like you probably shouldn't be delivering the hard word. Because, and I know everyone says this, but it's a reality. It's like truth without love is just like a cold, hard word. Mm-hmm. And it just makes you kind of a jerk, right?
Yeah.
But when you're willing to like walk it out with someone and you desire for them to live free, right? And that love for them consumes you, right? It's like that is the reason why we can say hard things, right? And so like when it comes to abortion, like that's like a really like tough subject, right?
Yeah.
Like I would say in my experience and because of my testimony and everything like that, like I have the authority to call women into repentance from that, because like my heart really breaks for them and I want them to so deeply like live free. Yeah. And like I love them even if they don't repent, right? And so I think that's where we constantly need to be checking our hearts, checking our motivations. Are we driven by this desire to be right? Or do we truly want people to live in his love and in his freedom? And so it's a constant like heart check. Like there are times all the time where I'm like, man, I probably shouldn't preach on this right now because I'm feeling a little judgy. And like something my husband always says is like sometimes like we'll go to Steph and like some people on our team like will be a little bit hard. And he's like, what you said, like it was just a hammer. It wasn't like there was no love in it. And wow. So he was like, it was powerless because wow. there was no love behind what was said. And so we constantly need to be checking our motivations, checking what's coming out of us. Wow. I think when we're calling people out of sin.
Yeah, that's so, wow, that's so convicting too. Because I mean, there have been plenty of times that I've shared something with someone and it wasn't coming from a good place. It totally. Was initially it was, but I was delivering it with the wrong message and the wrong heart behind it and the wrong motives. And yeah, I mean, it always backfires. It always backfires.
Like totally. And usually the Lord's like, that was not quite it.
Yeah. You're like, oh, well, can we just like rewind and like try that again? Because it never leads them to the cross. You know, Jesus right. delivered his message with, he was so firm in it, but he was so soft at the same time. And it was just so beautiful how I mean, he was just different than, you know, and so to try to be the hands and feet of Jesus, we also have to deliver those hard messages with love. Another thing that really, I was just like blown away by your boldness was the movement in California during COVID.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people know of that. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening that haven't heard that story if they haven't seen Domino Revival, but just the moment that you and your husband were faced with, if we do this, we could get arrested. Like, would you maybe share that story? And people are probably like on the edge of their seat now, like, wait, what? Like, would you share that and just share like how God showed up when you were faithful to step out, even when you didn't see what was on the other side of that?
If you guys haven't heard by now already, in the month of October, I launched a new business called Hazel and Lane. Seeing what God has done so far has absolutely blown our minds. And if you don't know what Hazel and Lane is, let me give you a 20-second Cliff Notes version. In October of 2022, I had a miscarriage that would forever change a lot of things in my life. But what happened next is something I never would have expected. In my most broken moment, the Lord birthed a beautiful new thing. Just days after my miscarriage, I had an open vision of what I am currently living out with this business, a women and children's boutique. One thing led to another, and 1 year later, October of 2023, that vision came to life. Hazel and Lane were the two names that we had picked out for that child, and now every day is a sweet reminder of the children that we have waiting on the other side of heaven. It's been nothing short of amazing, and I am so incredibly grateful for the way that this community has rallied around this dream. If you are looking for a Christ-focused business to support this holiday season, or just want to shop around for yourself, you can visit us at hazelandlane.com. That's HazelandLane.com. And while you're there, you can use the code podcast for free shipping. Every package is prayed over and put together with love.
Absolutely. And I'll give the Cliff Notes version, the like full entire story is in my book, Wildfires, like all of the details of it. Because it definitely was a very long and intense journey. But Cliff Notes version is 2016, Parker and I, my husband, we were living in New York City. And during worship one day, just like a normal conference during worship, I saw this open vision of thousands of people being baptized in Huntington Beach. And what was hard was we were living in New York City at the time. So I was like, why am I seeing a vision of Huntington Beach? I never lived in California. I loved living in New York. We had great jobs in New York. My husband was in full-time ministry. I ran a very successful creative agency. And like, we were thriving. So I was like, why are we seeing visions of New York? I shared with my husband, who was finishing a 21-day fast. And he was like, Jesse, God has been speaking to me about California. And I was like, oh no, like, what does that mean for us? And so we ended up submitting all of this to our lead pastors in New York at the time. And they were like, yeah, we actually have had several visions of you guys in California. We think you guys are supposed to move. And we were like, oh no.
You're like, wait, no.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to submit this to my leaders and they're going to say, no way. But they confirmed it. And so within 6 months, we had sold everything we owned. And we had just had our first baby. So with a 1 month old baby, we moved to California and didn't really know anyone. We ended up starting a house church out in Orange County at first, and we're just discipling people in our home. And I remember, like, we had sacrificed everything, laid down our jobs, moved with a brand new baby. And I was like, okay, we had done the big sacrifice. And so we went out to the pier in Huntington Beach and went and preached, and like, no one got saved. No one stopped to listen to us. Like, it was like an anti-revival. And I was so heartbroken because I was like, we sacrificed everything. And like, we were seeing lots of people saved in New York on the streets. And I was like, this is like an anti-anointing. Like, I hear from God, right? Like, it was like the opposite. We were financially in our worst position ever. And something I always tell people is, a lot of people say, like, you should follow favor. And I just want to say, like, sometimes don't follow favor. Like, this looked like the opposite of favor for us, but we knew that we heard from God. And so I always say, like, follow the voice of the Lord. Yeah. Like, and sometimes it doesn't feel like favor. Like, I don't think Paul in the prison cell was like, this looks like favor right now, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, none of the disciples who were martyred was like, this is the pathway of favor, like being crucified upside down.
Yeah.
And so you gotta know him and know his voice. And so honestly, for 4 years, my husband and I were in a very much a hidden season. Just discipling people, just learning really the disciplines of fasting and solitude and prayer. And then 2019, the Lord says to us, he says, green light, the harvest begins summer 2020. And I was pissed because we had been out sharing the gospel for 4 years.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what makes 2020 different than 2019? Like, why can't you just do it right now, God? And we started just sharing the vision with people. Long story short, COVID happens. Everything's in lockdown. California has some of the greatest like lockdown restrictions in the country. And the Lord, through a whole journey that's outlined in wildfires, pretty much tells us to go to Huntington Beach on July 3rd and go to the lifeguard tower, the furthest away from Main Street. So the most obscure lifeguard tower. So if you're trying to like gather a crowd, we went to the worst spot to gather a crowd.
Wow.
The furthest away from where all the people are. And the Lord said, go and preach the gospel there. And so we told some people we were going to do that. And the first week we go, we preach the gospel. 300 people show up. About 150 people get baptized.
Wow.
You see massive deliverance and healings break out. Rumors start to spread. The week after that, there's 1,000 people there. The week after that, 2,000 people there. The LA Times declares that we have a revival that's happening. And so then news has started spreading globally. We are having thousands and thousands of people come with zero marketing, a $60 megaphone, no stage, no amplified noise. And California is in massive lockdown restrictions. So the police are at our house and they essentially tell us, like, if you keep gathering, we will arrest you. And I just had our third baby at the time, Summer, and she was 2 months old. And I just remember like going to the grocery store and buying formula and saying to my husband's parents, like, we might be arrested tonight, so I'm going to have to stop nursing Summer. And if we go to jail tonight, like, I remember I was wearing a dress that night and I changed into like shorts and a bodysuit because I had this like weird idea, like, okay, well, if I'm going to spend the night in prison, like, I think I'd rather be in pants than a dress.
Yeah.
And like, this is like the real stuff we were dealing with. And We went to the beach and we are surrounded by police cars. There is like police SUVs all around us on the beach. We actually got written to us several citations. And we ended up in a legal case, actually like getting everything cleared. And we ended up getting I'm like, we actually got the citations and all that stuff. So it actually did all like go down and ended up in this massive legal battle. But it was at the same time, I know it sounds crazy, but those 4 years of being faithful and preaching the gospel and no one getting saved and just obeying the Lord and seeing no fruit. Now at the point we were seeing thousands of people getting saved and healed and baptized, I was like, I don't care if I go to prison for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Like, we are seeing everything that we've been praying and contending for. Like, they can drag me by my hair off this beach. Yeah. Like, I am preaching the gospel. And I think it's one of those things where you're just like, it's real and it works. And like that kind of stuff. It's like, yeah, of course, like that's worth going to jail for. Like, we honestly didn't even care about it. I was like, I hope they arrest us.
Yeah.
Because we're in like revival. So everyone in prison's going to get saved if they arrest us.
Yeah.
And your mindset just changes to you're like, I don't care what they do. Like, I am not like, I can't not do this. Like, this is what I was created for.
Wow.
So yeah. So since then we've been leading revival outbreaks like all around the country and we've baptized over 18,000 people since 2020.
Gosh.
And it's like, I mean, last night we had a prayer meeting at the farm and like people were being healed and delivered. And it's like we're just in this era of revival and it's just, it's awesome. And it's so fun to be alive right now.
Gosh, it's so like, so fun hearing your perspective on that, on revival and deliverance. And because people hear deliverance and I think they naturally, if they've never been around it or they've never walked through it themselves, they get this weird, like, ooh, that sounds scary. That sounds like, you know what I mean? There's like a weird connotation with it, but I'm like, no, deliverance is amazing. And even as a Christian, like I've walked through seasons where I'm like, oh, I think I need to get delivered of that. And then I do. And then you walk through another hard season and there's something else. And it's just so cool to hear your story of how you guys stood in faith, even when you were faced with prison and getting arrested and legal battles and citations and the way that the Lord showed up. And even the way that you walked out that word that you heard from the Lord when there wasn't anything to be seen for it yet. Like the harvest wasn't there.
That part actually was the harder part than like the prison stuff.
Yeah.
Like, because when you're in, I know it sounds weird, Brittany, but like when you're in like the realm of like all the prophetic words and visions coming to pass, like people can do anything. You don't really care. You're like, I'm just so excited that I'm like living in the promise, right?
Yeah.
The harder part, like the real hard part mentally for my heart, for my mind, for our marriage, was that like in between season of the vision and the prophetic word. And that coming to pass, like those 4 years were way harder than any of the persecution we faced when we were in the promise, right? And so I always like encourage people, I'm like, no, like your biggest battle is when you're like contending for something that feels impossible.
Yeah.
Like that's harder warfare than all the demonic stuff. That's harder warfare than even like people like slandering you, like all that stuff doesn't matter. What's hard is like that hope deferred, making your heart sick. That is like, that's the hard stuff.
Yeah. That's exactly where me and my husband are right now. We've been contending for 3 years and it's like, okay, we've gotten all these prophetic words and prayers and visions. And it's like, but wait, God, where is it? And that's, but we also have felt so strongly that we're right on the cusp of that breakthrough. And so it's like, the Lord is faithful also to like, just like you receive the word, the green light, like God is faithful to speak to us right when we need it, right when he has that hope deferred is starting to take over in our heart. And it instills people's faith again. And so, wow, there's so much that I could talk about with you. I look up to you so much, and you're just incredible. And I just honor you and your husband for the sacrifices that you guys have made and the way that you've spoken so boldly in a culture that doesn't necessarily like to receive these kind of messages, but you guys just don't care. And the Lord is moving through you guys, and it's global Saturate Global, right? Is your ministry. Yeah. So yeah, where can Saturate everyone Global. Find you? You host retreats, right? Where can everyone get connected?
Yeah. So we do events kind of all over through Saturate Global. We have like our giant national camp meeting in June. And they can register for free for that at saturateglobal.com. And then I'm on Instagram, jessie.green. And then also my website is jessie-green.com. And I host retreats and courses for women. Cause I'm super passionate about, like, as I was traveling and doing ministry and connecting with all of these women across the earth that the Lord is igniting, I just was like, man, like, I know when I was in that 4-year season of the in-between, like, I really desperately needed people of faith to like stir up my faith and help me to believe and live a life of passion. And so I really am passionate about offering that for other women, so that they don't have to be in that hope deferred season by themselves, but can actually like be ignited. So we activate all of that within Ardently on my website. So yeah, those are kind of the main ways.
Amazing. Well, I'm so glad that you got to do this podcast interview with me today. I'll leave all of this information down in the show notes. So if anyone wants to get connected with Jessie, you can do so down below. And thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Brittany. It's so good to see you.
Yes, so good to see you.
My prayer is that today encouraged you. Whether you've been walking with Jesus or you're listening to this episode just curious about who he is, I don't care what your past is. There is a place for you at our table. Some of you may have questions after listening to our conversation today, questions about forgiveness and repentance and turning from your sin. If that's you, please feel free to reach out to Jessie or myself, and I will leave all of her information in the show notes below. As always, thank you so much for listening to today's episode, and I will see you guys in the next one.
If you'd like to learn more about Brittany Dawn, you can find her personal platforms and ministry through the social links below. Thank you for listening in today, and remember, there's no depth that God will not go for you. His grace is sufficient. Even here.